Started.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the breakthroughs you have given to us. Thank you for your interventions that we receive. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for destroying the plans of the enemy that were against us. Thank you for the dominion you have given to us over sicknesses and diseases, over sin and the sinful nature. Thank you for the dominion you have given to us over Satan and his agents, over serpents and scorpions. Thank you, Father. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to know you, even the privilege to be called by your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for making us the persons you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for shielding us with your wings from our stubborn and deadly enemies. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for answering our prayers. We thank you for the spiritual growth you have given to us. Thank you for putting our enemies to shame. Thank you, Father. We are here this evening to learn at your feet, to learn your word once again, to learn of you, to learn your truth. Oh Lord, speak to our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Show us great things from your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do beyond our request. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching on persecution. Persecution. And we are going to move to the next topic, which is point 2B. Remember that point 1 says persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. And point 2 says benefits of persecution. So under point 2, we looked at heavenly rewards for enduring persecution, which is A point A. So now we are looking at point B, under the benefits of persecution. Yeah, so you can also call it point 2B. Yeah, so that is where we are right now. And this point says God is with and helps those being persecuted. God is with those that are being persecuted. And not only that, God helps those being persecuted. So it's two in one. God is with and helps those being persecuted. God is with them, and God helps them. Yeah, so that is the topic we are looking at tonight. God is with and helps those being persecuted. This means that God doesn't leave us to go through persecution alone. He stays with us. Even in the midst of the persecution, He helps us to endure the sufferings, the pains, the attacks. He helps us to endure them. Yeah. For instance, Apostle Paul and his missionary team, they went to Macedonia. They went to Macedonia to preach the gospel, and during the course of the missionary walk, yeah, they were arrested and publicly beaten. Yeah, you know the story. The story is in Acts chapter 16, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Yeah, so they were arrested and they were beaten publicly and they were in prison. Now, the people lied about them. They lied against them to the authorities. The authorities arrested them and imprisoned them. After they had beaten them publicly, yeah, imagine adults being beaten publicly. Yeah, so they went through all those humiliation and pains and sufferings, but the Lord was with them. Yeah, the Lord stood with them. Yeah. And we know what happened when they began to praise God and worship God and pray in the midnight. Yeah, you know what happened. is an example of how God is very close to those who are being persecuted. I pray that when you are being persecuted, you will not stay far away from the Lord. I pray that whenever you are being persecuted, it will take you closer, much more closer to the Lord, and not draw you farther away from the Lord, in Jesus' name. So let us look at some scriptures in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 32. To 33. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 32 to 33. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Verse 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. You can see the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. The Lord will not leave the righteous in the hand of the wicked. And the Lord will not condemn him when he is judged by the wicked. Yeah. So God defends his righteous people. God doesn't leave the righteous to be at the mercy of the wicked. Yeah. And God doesn't condemn people that the wicked government have condemned. Yeah. Like, in some countries, there are people who were unjustly judged, unjustly arrested by police or whoever, and unjustly imprisoned. Yeah, like here in Nigeria, there are a lot of people in prison that did not deserve to be imprisoned. They didn't do what they accused them of doing. Yeah. So they were unjustly arrested and prosecuted and imprisoned for things they didn't do. Yeah. So here the Bible says that God doesn't condemn people in that category. God fights for them. I pray that the Lord will fight for you, even when the enemy condemns you, Jesus' name. So God does not condemn the righteous, even if the whole world condemns them. And God does not leave the righteous to be at the mercy of the wicked. Now, you might be asking that, why does God allow the righteous to suffer in the hands of the wicked sometimes, even when the righteous would pray and cry out to God, yet God would not deliver him from the hand of the wicked? You might be asking, why does God do that? Why is it that God might choose to delay in rescuing the righteous from the hand of the wicked? Yeah, if you're asking that question, it's a good question. And here is the answer. You can consider how God delivered Jesus into the hands of the wicked to be tormented, beaten, and crucified. Yeah, you can consider that God didn't deliver Jesus from the hands of those who arrested him. He didn't. He let them arrest him, and he let them kill him. And he didn't do anything until they had killed him. It was after he had been killed that God did something. And we know what he did. He brought him out of the grave alive. Now, this is my point. Whenever it appears as if God allows the wicked to prevail over the righteous, it is usually because God wants to reveal a great glory through the situation. Yeah, like the case of Paul and Silas that I mentioned earlier. God allowed them to go through the persecution to the point of them being imprisoned, because God wanted to do something in the midnight. During the daytime, they suffered. They were publicly humiliated. But in the midnight, when they began to worship God and praise God, that was when the glory was revealed. The table turned at midnight. But during the day, it was as though the enemy had prevailed over them. Yeah. But eventually the table turned. Yeah, so whenever it looks like God allows the enemy to prevail over the righteous. It is usually because God wants to reveal a great glory through the situation. Now, and that is why it is important for the righteous to not feel forsaken or abandoned by God during those times. It is important for the righteous to spend more time with God during those times. It is important for Christians to do more of worshiping God and praising God and prayers during such times. Why? Because there is a glory hidden in that situation that is to be revealed. Yeah, but some Christians, they act foolishly in such situations. Some began to blame God. Some began to say negative things. Yeah, some, you know, begin to lose faith and trust in God because God allowed the enemy to temporarily succeed over them. Yeah, and eventually the glory God had planned to reveal to the situation would not be revealed. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so always have it in mind that God can never abandon his own people. And he will never put them at the mercy of their enemies. God will always come to rescue his own people. Praise the Lord. I pray that when you go through tribulations and persecutions, you will not forget your God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us look at another scripture. Psalm 46, verse 1. Don't forget, our topic says, God is with and helps those being persecuted. Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So God is your present help in trouble. In time of trouble, he is your present help. Yeah, I remember some time ago I was asking the Lord this question. I was saying, do you mean any Christian can call upon you at any time when they are in trouble? and you will intervene and help them immediately, even at that time. Yeah, and the Lord answered and said, yes, that is what I mean, or that is what I meant by this verse. A very present help in trouble. Now, I heard the question again, that are you saying that irrespective of the situation, yeah, you know, I like to ask God questions so that I can learn a lot from Him. So I asked Him again and said, do you mean irrespective of the situation such Christian might be facing or going through? Do you mean if we just ask you to help, you will just help at that point in time? Not that you probably help us the following day or the following hour. Yeah, he responded and said, yes, that irrespective of the situation, if any Christian would call upon him in time of trouble, he would step in and help. Yeah, and then he said something else. He said, it is instantaneous. That is the help that we would get at such time, or at such times, would be instantaneous, because the situation is not new to him. Yeah, that was what he said to me. That because the situation is not new to him. So which means he already knew you would find yourself in the trouble. He already knew that such situation would happen. And he already made a way for you even before you found yourself in the trouble. Yeah. And it's true. Yeah, because I have called upon the Lord many times in times of trouble. And He had come to my rescue. Yeah. But it seems like many Christians don't receive instantaneous help when they are in trouble. Yeah, you might be thinking, if this verse is true, why is it that when I called upon the Lord in the time of my trouble, why is it that I didn't get the help that I asked from Him? The truth is that this scripture is true. Yeah, let me read the scripture again. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Praise the Lord. Now, the truth is that this scripture is true. Now, you might have some time in your life where you felt this scripture is not true, because you prayed and asked for God's help and nothing seemed to come from above. You know, no help seemed to come from above. Yeah. But your experience doesn't mean this scripture is not true. I mean, the experience you have, the negative experience, does not invalidate this scripture. Now, what I have discovered is that many times we don't even know when God has released the help that we asked for. Yeah, many times we don't know when the helps we asked for have been released. Yeah, because we are not sensitive in our spirits. Yeah, because at the moment we are so carnal. We are in the flesh and not in the spirit. So when the Lord responded, we didn't even know when he responded. Yeah, because you might be looking for is an instantaneous physical help, whereas God wanted to give you a spiritual help first before the physical help. Yeah, but because you are not spiritual, you are not sensitive in your spirit, you just concluded that I called unto God for help and nothing came from God, no help came from heaven. Yeah, because your spirit is dead to discern what God is actually doing or what God actually did the moment you cried out for help. So you just concluded that no help came, whereas the help him. Yeah. So that is the case of many Christians. We are more carnal than spiritual. So when we pray, we open our physical eyes, and we are looking for the help. Whereas God expects that we open our spiritual eyes first and see the help he had been. Yeah. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of Daniel. And I think many of you know that story. Daniel began to pray for the people of Israel. He began to intercede for the people. And he was in, I think, 21 days fasting during the intercession. Yeah, but after many days, the answer to his prayer came. But before the answer came, a lot was going on in the spiritual realms. A lot was going on. before the answer came. Yeah, but he didn't know what was going on, but he continued in prayer. Yeah, he continued. It was when the angel came with the answer that the angel told Daniel that God have heard his prayer since the first day he began to do the intercessory prayers. Yeah, the angel told him that his prayers have been answered. His prayers had been answered since the first day. And that God have sent him with the answers to his prayers since the first day he started to fast and pray. But the angel was telling Daniel what he went through that made the answer to his prayers to be delayed. Yeah, the angel told him that he had to face a demonic prince while he was coming from heaven with the answer to his prayer. Yeah, the angel said he was confronted with a principality in the spiritual realm. And the principality was able to withstand him for 21 days. Yeah, the principality was able to prevent him from going further for 21 days. It was when the angel sent message to heaven that something is happening right here. I can't live here. There's a dark angel that is stopping me. That was when God sent reinforcement. God sent Michael, another angel, to go and fight those principalities, so that the angel with the answer to Daniel's prayers would be able to come to Daniel and deliver the answers. I don't know if I get my point. Yeah, because we saw in that passage that Daniel's prayers was answered immediately he started to pray. Yeah, but a lot was going on in the spiritual realm that delayed the manifestation, the physical manifestation of the answer to Daniel's prayers. Yeah, but Daniel did not stop. He continued to pray and to wait upon the Lord. So what we should learn from this story is that whenever we pray using the name of Jesus, it is sure that God have heard that prayer and answered it. Yeah. And it is expected of us to persist until we receive the answers. That is, it is expected of us to persist in faith and in trust. Yeah, in faith in God, in trust in God. So we should persist until we get the answers, because the prayers have been answered. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, whenever we pray, we should believe that the prayer has been answered. And that is when we will see the answer. Have you read that, please, before your Bible? Let me look for that, please. Yeah, he said, whenever we pray, that is Matthew chapter 21. Verse 22. You can open to the place. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Praise the Lord. Let me read it in another translation. Matthew Matthew 21. Verse 22, Matthew 21, verse 22, you can pray for anything. This is New Living Translation. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Yeah, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Yeah, it says, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. You shall receive it. Praise the Lord. So what this verse is saying is that after you ask that thing, you believe immediately that you have received it, and that is when you will receive it. I don't know if I'm getting it. Whenever you pray for anything, you believe that the prayer, you know, Jesus taught the disciples to believe that the prayer has been answered, that they have already received the answer. Now, it is by believing that the prayer has been answered that they will now receive it eventually. I hope you understand. So not that, especially when what you asked for is in agreement with the will of God. Yeah, because if you ask for something that is contrary to the will of God, God is not going to do it. God cannot go against himself. But if you ask for something that is in agreement with the will of God, Jesus taught us to believe that we already have it. And that is how we will eventually have it. Yeah, so after the moment Daniel prayed, God heard in heaven. He responded immediately. But there was battles in the spiritual realms that kept the answer to the prayer for a long time before it reached Daniel. Now, this shows that sometime after you have prayed or asked for help in times of need, the first help God might want to give you could be more faith so that you can continue in that prayer till the exact help you needed will now manifest. So God might first of all give you more faith. Yeah. And more strength to continue in faith and in prayer till the actual help you demanded for will now manifest. For instance, maybe you asked God for a deliverance or for a breakthrough. And then you mentioned the scripture, you said, God, you said in your word that you are the present help in trouble, that you are our refuge and strength. And then you say, God, please help me right now, because you said you are the present help in trouble. Help me, give me deliverance, give me victory. Now, the first help that God might send to you might be grace for you to continue in prayer and fasting till the actual help you asked for will manifest. Yeah, sometimes God might release the actual help, and sometimes He might not. Yeah, sometimes He will first release a spiritual help. Sometimes He might give you a revelation of what is going on in the spiritual realm, so that you will know how to fight and how to pray harder. Yeah. Sometimes He might do that first before the physical, before the physical help will now happen. Yeah, so whenever we cry unto God for help, be sensitive in your spirit to know when He has sent spiritual help to you. Yeah, be sensitive in your spirit, man, to know when He has sent the spiritual help to you. Sometimes God might first of all give you a scripture, maybe a scripture verse or a scripture passage. Yeah, though you prayed for healing, and then you're expecting that your sickness would disappear instantly, but God did not remove the sickness instantly, but he chose to give you a scripture to meditate upon. Yeah, so that is an help. No, you are looking for instant healing. You are looking for healing in your body, and you want it to happen immediately after you asked for healing. Whereas God, chose to give you a spiritual help first. He chose to give you a scripture for you to meditate on. Yeah, because he wants to do the miracle as you allow that scripture sink deep into your heart and soul. Yeah, so whenever we ask God for anything, don't just ask and then you are now looking for the physical result. Ask and open your heart, open your spirit to receive whatever spiritual help or revelation or insight or direction or instruction from the Lord that would come first before the actual help you asked for would come. I hope you understand. Praise the Lord. Let us continue. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7 to 9. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50, Isaiah 50, verse 7 to 9. For the Lord God will help me. I mean, Isaiah 50, verse 7 to 9. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. It's the Lord. It says, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall heat them up. Praise the Lord. That is the word of the Lord. I pray for you that whenever you call upon the Lord, he will help you with speed in Jesus' name. And you shall not be ashamed in Jesus' name. Let us also look at Matthew Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 to 20. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Praise the Lord. Jesus was telling the disciples that they will persecute them, even through kings and rulers, through the authorities. Yeah. And that happened to the early church. They were persecuted. They were labeled as traitors. Yeah, they were labeled as evildoers, as murderers, as I don't know the name they call people. Yeah, as criminals. Yeah, that's the word. They were labeled as criminals, as murderers, as evil people, just because they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they were brought before the rulers and kings and governors. Yeah, some of them were sentenced to death. Some of them were beheaded. Yeah, a lot of things happened to the early Christians. Yeah, and do not think you can avoid persecution as a Christian. You might not experience the kind of persecution that the early church experienced, but you should know that you will be persecuted as a child of God if you are going to please God in this earth. Yeah. So Jesus said that even in that moment when you are being brought before judges and maybe you are being dragged to court for what you didn't do, even in that moment where you have been brought before kings and governors, yeah, Jesus said, you don't need to think about what you will say, how you would defend yourself. God will speak from the inside of you. Yeah. I want you to know that persecution is coming. I've said it, or maybe I should say, I've been saying it since we started this teaching on persecution. Persecution is coming, and I'm referring to a very big one. Yeah, and we can't escape it. Persecution is coming upon the church and upon Christians all over the world. And you can't run away from it. You might be lucky, maybe it won't come. As in, I'm referring to high-level persecution. High-level persecution that involves a lot of Christians being imprisoned, jailed, and killed. Yeah, so maybe you might be lucky and it might not come in your lifetime. But it is coming. Yeah, it is coming. A time is coming that you professing that you're a Christian is going to be a crime. I mean, you saying that you're a Christian in the public is going to be a crime. In fact, for saying you're a Christian, they will have you arrested. And they will have you in jail probably for 20 years, about 20 years imprisonment, just for saying that you're a Christian. You can write it down. That time is coming. Yeah, the time is coming that if you mention certain things in the Bible publicly, and then you tell people that what they are doing, the Bible speaks against it. Immediately, you say that, maybe you say that in secret, and someone happened to do a video recording of what you said, and send it, and someone happens to send it to the authorities, they will come and arrest you, and you'll be imprisoned. And they can even, yeah, a lot of things they will do. They will freeze people's bank accounts. Yeah, they would freeze the bank accounts of Christians. You will not be able to withdraw money or spend money. Yeah, a lot of things they are going to do to Christians. And that time is not far from now, it's very close. Yeah, so don't think that high level persecution is not going to happen again, or is it, you know, it has ended with the early Christians and the early apostles. No, don't think like that. Persecution is coming. I pray that you be strong to be able to face any kind of persecution and still remain standing in the truth and in your faith as a Christian in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. 56, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. Yeah, can you see that? They grabbed him, they stoned him, because he's saying he saw the heavens open, and he saw Jesus sitting on the right hand of God in glory. Yeah. So all kinds of persecution are coming to the church. Yeah, in fact, a time is coming that you will be arrested for saying certain things that you claim that you saw by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, if they saw you say things like that, or even post things like that on the internet, they will have you arrested. I'm just preparing your mind for what is coming. Yeah, a lot is going to happen. The times that we have is getting very dark and darker day by day. And soon you will see Christians turning against themselves. You see Christians betraying themselves. Christians reporting themselves to the evil government. Because they will tell you that if you're able to report Christians, we're going to give you $5,000. If you're able to report any Christian in your environment that is found doing this, saying this, and you're able to get an evidence, we're going to give you maybe $1,000. And you know, in those days, you see Christians exposed. I mean, I don't even want to call them Christians. So-called Christians betraying another Christian and reporting another Christian to the evil government so that they can arrest the person. So the times that we have is already dark. It's going to get darker. We're in the perilous times, and a lot of bad things will happen to the church, to God's people. So if you really want to serve God, now is the time to decide if you want to serve God or not. I pray that the Lord will help every one of us to stand firm in righteousness, even in the face of intense persecution. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we saw in this, in the case of Stephen, that he was not carried away by the death threat. Yeah, Stephen was not carried away by the threats coming from the religious leaders to kill him. He was still in the spirit. He was not afraid of death. Yeah, Jesus said, do not fear anyone that can kill the body, but fear the one that can kill, that can destroy the soul and the spirit in hell. That is the one you should fear. Don't fear anyone that can only destroy the body. So Stephen was fearless. Very fearless. Even in the midst of people that, you know, in the midst of those lions, they were ready to devour him. He was still in the spirit. He was not even thinking of, oh, is this how I'm going to die? Is this how I'm going to die young? He wasn't thinking of that. He was so much connected with heaven that even in that moment, he was seeing the heavens opened. And he wasn't even afraid to declare what he saw. Yeah, so those are Christians indeed. Yeah. I doubt if the Christians of this time can do that, can be so bold even in the face of death. Yeah, you know, not minding being killed or not. I pray that you will have the boldness of Stephen in Jesus' name. Let us look at another scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 35-39. Romans chapter 8, 35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Yeah, this is a confession of a real Christian. Yeah, these are the people we should call Christians. People that will say that they are persuaded that neither death nor life. Do you know what that means? It means they have grown in their relationship with God to the point that nothing can separate them from God anymore. Nothing. Yeah. He said neither death. So which means if anyone wants to use death to scare them, to stop them, they are willing to die. Or neither life. So maybe they're already going through something that would kill them, and then somebody came and said, I'm going to offer you life. I'm going to help you out so that you don't die in this place. If only you can renounce your faith in Jesus. They are willing to die and not accept deliverance. Not accept any form of escape. Yeah, maybe they are being, let's say for instance, they are being starved to death for their faith. Yeah, which have happened to Christians in those days. Yeah, you see Christians being starved to death. They would lock them up in a prison and they wouldn't give them any food. They would leave them to starve. Now, so what he meant by neither life is that even while they are almost dying and then somebody came and said, I'm going to offer you food and water so that you can escape death, but you will have to give up on following Jesus. They said they will reject such life. I mean such escape to live or such opportunity to live. They would reject it because they love God so much. Do we have Christians like that at this time? Are you like that? Can you say that boldly, confidently? Yeah, I pray that the Lord will help us to be correct Christians. In Jesus' name. And let us continue. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. To 11. Yeah, I want you to know that any Christian faith that is not tested is not real. Yeah, any Christian faith that is not tried and tested with, you know, many things, with sufferings, with persecution, is not real. Yeah, so if you tell me right now that you believe God so much, you trust God so much, and you love God so much, I might not agree with you until your faith has been tried and tested with very terrible situations, like intense persecution. That is when I would agree that you really love God. This man that, you know, we read about in that Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, these are real men of God. They were real Christians. I pray that your own Christianity will be real and that it will survive the test of time. In Jesus' name. Yeah, so 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Yeah, he called it light affliction. Light, that is, though if what happened to this man here were allowed by God to happen to some of you here, you are not going to call it a light affliction. You're going to really call it a serious problem. But he called it a light affliction. That is a small thing. Yeah, even though it's serious. I mean, those things were serious. Those things they went through were serious, but they didn't see it as that. Yeah, because their focus was on heaven. Yeah, their focus was on God and not on themselves. Yeah, they weren't looking for some pleasures or enjoyment in this earth. Yeah, so that was why he said, our light affliction, was, you know, for a moment and cannot be compared with the eternal weight of glory that awaits them. So these people, they knew where they are going. They knew where they are going. I pray you will know where you are going after this world. They knew where they are going, and they knew it, that place is far more glorious. Far more glorious than whatever glory that might be in this earth. Yeah. And they called all the persecution and sufferings and trials and tribulations they went through, they call it light affliction. I pray that all the challenges people consider to be very serious, it will be nothing to you. For you, you know, it will be nothing for you to endure for the sake of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Let us look at another scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For ye have said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I have said it in the previous teachings that there is always God's help, even in the midst of persecution, depending on God's plan for you at that time. And I have said it before that no one will be able to take your life if it's not yet time for you to die. Yeah. No one can kill a real Christian, a righteous believer, when it's not yet time for them to die. Yeah. The early Christians, they know about this, or they knew about this, and so they were not afraid of death, because they know that God is able to deliver them if it's not yet their time. They know that God will deliver them from the hands of whoever wants to kill them if it's not yet their time. And somehow they always knew when it's their time to die. They always knew also. If you read, I think 2 Timothy, you will see Apostle Paul writing about that it's time to die. Yeah, I may not be able to know the chapter and the verse, but I believe it's in 2 Timothy. You will see he was writing to Timothy and was telling him that he's going to die soon. Yeah, that he will soon be killed and he will go and be with the Lord. Yeah, so real Christians don't die before their time. Apostle Paul was delivered from a lot of death attacks. There are times that they have beaten him to the point that they thought he had already died. Yeah, and only to see him, you know, alive again. Yeah, so God will deliver you from the hands of whoever wants to cut short your life, in Jesus' name. Inasmuch as it is not yet your time, no one can take your life, and no one shall be able to do that, in Jesus' name. Let us look at the last scripture before we round off. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. Yeah, the Spirit of glory rests on us, even in the midst of reproach, disgrace, shame that we have to go through because of Christ. I pray that you'll be one of those Christians that are very, very willing to take shame, disgrace, and reproach for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of his gospel. In Jesus' name. Some people cannot even stand in the public place to testify or witness about Jesus. They are so ashamed of Jesus. I remember what Jesus said. He said, if you are ashamed of me in this world, I will also be ashamed of you in my kingdom. That is, you will not be welcome into his kingdom. Yeah, if you cannot take shame, take disgrace, take reproach for Jesus or because of Jesus, you are not worthy of his kingdom. If you cannot do that here on earth, you are not worthy of his kingdom. I pray that you will be worthy. Look everywhere. The people that are serving the devil, the sinners out there, are they ashamed of their evil doings? They are not ashamed. Yeah. Yeah. Look everywhere. You're going to see all these people that are of the dark kingdom. They are not ashamed of their master. Yeah, even the seducers, are they ashamed? Yeah, those people that put on seductive dresses, are they ashamed? Yeah, they manifest their seduction everywhere, even on the internet, anyway. They go half naked on the streets without shame. So they are representing the kingdom they belong without shame. They are witnessing for the devil without shame. And you who claim to belong to God's kingdom, you are ashamed to even testify of your faith publicly and on the street. And then you want to come into the kingdom of heaven. You want to make heaven. That is impossible. There's no way for you to make heaven if after you have denied Christ publicly, because you don't want to be put to shame. Yeah. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. So we are going to stop here. If you have questions, you can always ask on the group. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for this teaching. Thank you for showing us the fact that you are with us and you are willing and ready to help us whenever we go through tough times, tribulations, trials, persecutions. Thank you for showing us that we can always call on you anytime we need help. And we will always find the helps. I ask that you help everyone listening to this teaching right now to learn to draw closer to you in the times of trouble and persecution. In Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you make us real and correct Christians, like those that we read about in the Bible. Make us such type of Christians. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.